Hi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Spoiler Alert by Fan Service Apparel.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hello.
I'm Janae.
I'm Nick. And I think we're just going to jump right in because we need to talk about What If.
We do, actually.
Episode 3. Oh, yes.
So that we are absolutely going to jump right into that.
But first,
there were two things I wanted to touch base on.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so the first is going to be Magic Key.
Oh.
And the second is going to be that new trailer that just released for Spider-Man.
Oh.
No Way Home. So take your pick. Which is first? Which topic?
Let's start with No Way Home.
Okay, great. So that trailer just dropped yesterday, right? Because today for us is Wednesday. It dropped on Tuesday yesterday. And how exciting. I mean, that felt like a very long trailer. Like, that gave us a lot.
It did. You know, I'm going to be that, like, nerd touching his glasses going, well, actually, I really don't like when trailers give away the whole movie.
Oh, sure. Of course.
And I feel like I got, which I understand at its basic concept that a movie trailer is supposed to give you enough to get you to pay for the ticket to go see it.
Like,
I understand the vehicle that it, you know, that it is.
Yeah.
But I, as somebody who really appreciates story, I don't like that I essentially got the first two acts.
I get what you mean.
In that movie, I got...
Or so it seems. I mean, we could be wrong.
Yes, we could be wrong, but I... You know what movie really did it well? And there's going to be others that people will say. But
what's that?
The one movie that I know did it very well was Cloverfield.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that
Cloverfield trailer.
Told you nothing about that movie. And then
it enticed you.
Remember there was like even like a, maybe you didn't do this. There was like a secret website.
I didn't do that.
Yeah, if you watch the trailer, one of the people in the party scene of that trailer is wearing a shirt of a, like, Japanese beverage company, which, if you Googled it, took you to a fake website for that company.
What?
That was a subsidiary of a offshore drilling company, which the, I believe, kind of the monster, the Cloverfield monster, like, came down from a meteor, landed in the ocean, and then a deep-sea drilling company kind of awakened it.
Well,
and
that's crazy.
And that was, like, the through line from...
That's just artistry right there.
From... It was J.J. Abrams. It was this through line from a shirt of this guy in this trailer that people would pause and you know, the very emerging space of, like... recap, you know, I'll say like recap culture of just watching something and then talking about it elsewhere.
Like what we're doing right now.
Exactly. people were like, what is that brand? I don't know that brand. Let me Google it. Oh, there's a website. Like, let me look at that website. I loved that. And I loved that you went into that movie knowing absolutely nothing
that
about what
so
was going
to cool.
happen. And I mean, it's tough because I understand why they didn't do that. You know, this is the part in like a financial podcast where you're like, this is a disclaimer, I own stock of Disney. You know, it's like on Snacks Daily where they're at if you listen to the end, they have to give a disclaimer of what stocks they own.
Sure, that much I got, but I don't know where you're going with this.
Oh, sorry. In my mind, I have like the next 10 steps worked out. Basically, like as an investor in the Walt Disney Company, and as somebody who's seeing this movie as an investment that needs to pay off as a return, I understand making a trailer that is going to entice people enough to pay for a ticket or pay for premiere access to watch the movie. Like, I get that. As an investor, I'm like, awesome. Show them half the movie. Make them pay $30 for the other half. Like, I get it. Like, I get it. As a fan, I wanted... no context. I wanted a trailer that was 1 minute of scenes that made no sense, and you're like, I need to see the movie to see how all of these things connect to one another. You know what I mean?
I do know what
you mean. So, like, I see both sides of the coin, mm-hmm. and that's my big takeaway, is that I loved everything I saw in that trailer. I want to see the movie. I will see the movie, so it worked on me. But I also would have loved to have seen all of those big reveals in the movie fresh for the first time. Mm. I want that Baby Yoda moment, which I now want that to be a term. That Baby Yoda moment, it was not ruined ahead of time. Jon Favreau made sure that nobody knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because how genuine was that reaction when that little hand came out? Remember, we in our office, we used to do Mandalorian Fridays, where we would watch The Mandalorian, I think starting with the first episode of The Mandalorian. We started watching it on Fridays in the office, in the conference room. And when that little hand came out, and we were all like, I know what that hand is. That moment, like, to get that back, I miss that. And that was such an intentional decision, and we don't get that too often.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'll say about that. I want to move on.
I think we spent quite a lot of time on that trailer. Sorry. It's okay. I thought we'd kind of recap about the things we did see on the trailer, but that's okay. I just think that my favorite part was seeing cozy Doctor Strange in the sanctum full of snow. Which, why is it full of snow?
Which there are, you know, there's fan theories that wasn't the real Doctor Strange, that was Mephisto pretending to be Doctor Strange. So we'll see. I feel like people have been ringing the Mephisto bell for quite some
time. Oh yeah,
since WandaVision, where they're like, it has to be him. So
we'll see.
I will be excited if it is, because in that moment I'll be like, they were right. But
Have to wait till Christmas.
We'll have to wait till Christmas to see that.
Unless there's more trailers in the future. Well, they give
you the third act, yeah. And then you see all three acts
in just trailer form. And then the movie's just like a fun thing you can do.
The movie's just the post-credits
scene. Oh, man. Well, moving on. Magic Key dropped today at 10 a.m. Nick and I both got our magic keys. We're so excited. We waited in a queue for 3 hours, a virtual queue.
Much better than Oogie Boogie Bash.
Oh my gosh.
Virtual queue.
We never got tickets to Oogie Boogie Bash.
I'm still in the queue now.
There's still people waiting in the queue for Oogie Boogie Bash. Meanwhile, people are getting their magic keys, which is so exciting.
So exciting.
So we talked about Magic Key a little bit last episode, and so I don't want to talk about it too much longer, but I did want to say that if you listened to our last episode, you will remember that Nick brought up where that term comes from and where it originally was. It was a part of the ticket book, and it was a special kind of ticket where you could ride any attraction with it.
Yep.
It's super cool. And in that moment, while we were recording the podcast, he pulled up a picture of that ticket and showed it to me. That was one of those moments where, you know, if we were on camera, you'd see it. We weren't, but you can still see it, because actually I was so inspired by that I decided to make it into some items in our shop. So now it's available on fanserviceapparel.com.
Check it out.
You can get some things inspired by that original magic key, like stickers of it, or a shirt, just some fun stuff like that. And maybe more to come too, because I just think there's a lot of really cool potential there.
The magic key kind of ticket in the ticket book went through a couple iterations.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just one of the iterations. And if you will like it, we can kind of dive deeper into the kind of the little time capsule that was the beginning to end of Magic Key in the ticket book system.
Yeah.
It's
and I'm sure that Disney will come out with their Magic Key merchandise, and I'm sure it will be cute and all, but I highly doubt that it's going to be inspired by.
Well, if it's anything like the pin that was it charter member or founding member, if you buy the Magic Key annual pass within the first.
It's not a pass.
Sorry.
It's not a pass.
This is like Galaxy's Edge. You know, what does everybody say? You're going to Star Wars Land.
It's not Star Wars Land.
And then if you say, actually, it's Galaxy's Edge, and they're like, okay, Oscar. Actually. they have that pin that if you buy it within the first certain amount of days, I want to say it's 66 days because the park is celebrating 66 years.
Yep, yep, that's what I heard.
Uh-huh. You get that pin that says Magic Key on it. Yeah. I think that's the like the new artwork, the new version of that old artwork. So we might be seeing some merchandise with that kind of redrawn artwork. I
love me a cool pin.
But all that to say that you are not going to find the 60s and 70s version of Magic Key anywhere else but on the Fan Service Apparel shop.
That's right.
Old retro Disneyland is your jam, like it is ours.
Ours, for sure. So anyway, just wanted to let you guys know about that and also say, yeah, we are Magic Key holders. If you are too, let us know. And you may run into us at the park, and that would be cool. And we hope we run into you at the park. And if so, we'll say hi and we'll be friends and hang out and ride something together.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, let's now after we've got all that out of the way, let's talk about this episode of Marvel's What If. Wow. So I feel like, you know, previously in the first episode, it was like you have to have watched Captain America, First Avenger. Second episode, you would have had to have watched Guardians of the Galaxy. And I guess 1 and 2.
Yeah,
and maybe Black Panther as well.
Maybe Civil War.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Now this one.
Boy,
some serious direct callbacks to several movies. But also so weird because I was very confused by the timing of these things because I'm like, wait, but that moment was from Thor. And that moment was from, maybe, was there anything from Thor actually? I'm just thinking of Thor.
But yeah,
was
that, all the stuff with Barton and Fury.
Yeah.
Where the Mjolnir hammer was like in the ground kind of thing. That's all from Thor.
And that moment was from Iron Man 2. And that moment was from Avengers. And like then, so many, you know.
Yeah, and you have to know that those moments in the comics all happened within the same week.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That is weird to me. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the fact that the very last thing that happened in that week was finding Captain America. I'm still confused. I'm going to need a diagram. I'm confused how this happens because these were all separate, very separate events in my mind after watching the movies.
But when you go back with that kind of knowledge, you're going to see little hints. Remember in Iron Man 2, Coulson has to go somewhere?
Yeah.
That's where he's going. So, you know, if you like overlap the first Thor movie, that's happening right at the same time as Iron Man. Kind of. You see what I'm talking about? And then even the thing with the Hulk, that was from the pre-Mark Ruffalo Hulk.
I never saw that movie.
I mean, you know, to be honest with you, I never watched them. I mean, I probably watched them when they came out.
But you don't remember anymore.
That guy that played the Hulk pre-Mark Ruffalo.
Who is he even?
Oh,
who
my cares? Gosh. You know what I'm... This is
horrible. I'm just kidding. I feel bad. He's an actor. He's an actor.
I only know him from the remake of The Italian Job with Mark Wahlberg and Charlize Theron. He's the bad guy in that movie. That's the only thing I know him from.
And the Hulk, sort of.
And the Hulk.
Variant Hulk.
Yeah, Variant Hulk. But when those scenes were happening, I just kept going, I'm sure this is part of that, right? This is part of a Hulk movie I haven't seen.
Yeah. But you know what? I just thought it was really cool that all these moments were threaded together in kind of like a Fury and Natasha kind of back and forth.
Did you think Hank Pym was going to be the...
No. Okay, so I was... Here's what I got. Here's where I was, like, maybe trying to figure it out. When she was in the lab and was working with that lady from Hulk that I don't know her name.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, nanotechnology. And I was like a nanoparticle? And then I was like... Wait, but I know Ant-Man is going to be in a future episode, and I saw, because we saw it in the trailer, I think, and we see, like...
We see a split second of Scott Lang's head in a jar, Futurama style.
So, knowing this, I was like, okay, that doesn't seem to fit within what's happening here, so maybe that was me, you know... But I was onto something because it ended up being Hank Pym, which is crazy... But so cool. I thought that was really neat. I thought it was really interesting. And I was just like, I don't know. That was exciting. It was crazy to see him as the Yellow Jacket, like that suit. His right, his version of Yellow Jacket,
and kind of like a, you know, crazy old guy mm-hmm. kind of vibes.
Mm-hmm. And I am proud to say that I caught on to the Loki thing, the Loki as Fury, before it was revealed. When you first saw him punching, and then at first I was like, wait, what the heck? Fury doesn't have powers. Like, he can't, like, how is he hitting him? How is he doing this? And I was like, what the heck? And then it kind of zooms out and you see him sort of like zapping around. And I was like, oh, that's not Fury. Oh, that's Loki. And then it was multiplying. And I was like, yeah, this is totally Loki. Because we've seen him do that before.
See, I thought that it might be Armin Zola.
Really?
Well, because you remember there was, remember in the,
you did say that when we were watching it. You were like, is this Hydra, maybe?
In the Winter Soldier, when, you know, Steve finds the computer pulling all the strings and doing all the things. You know, at the beginning, Fury was like, somebody switched out your, that antidote or whatever they had given to Tony. I thought to myself, oh, this is like that program, pulling strings.
Yeah.
But I was genuinely surprised. I mean, as I'm sure they were intending to, very surprised that it was Hank Pym.
Yes. That was a great reveal. That was a really great reveal. I really think there were so many awesome moments in this episode. Just true, like, have to be a real fan, have to have watched all these movies to follow and appreciate all these little tidbits.
How funny was Coulson smelling
his... I was just going to say... Coulson, I mean, I love Coulson. When like, he dies in the films, I would just heartbroken.
You know, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the show, he comes back.
Oh, good.
Because they give him a transfusion of Kree blood.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. See, I didn't watch the show, so I didn't know that. But that's good because I love Coulson. He's so sweet, and I especially loved him in this episode. And I love that he was like just fawning over Thor. But he was still true. He was still true to Steve because his password was hashtag Steve, I heart Steve, 0704. Which just cracks me up.
And when that happened, I turned to Janae and I said, I need that in a shirt. I need to wear that.
That can be arranged. That can certainly be arranged. Yeah, I think me too, though, honestly. Maybe a sticker, too. That'd be a good sticker.
Yeah, that would be... Oh, I love that. Yeah, but, I mean, Coulson and, the callback to him talking to Steve Rogers when he was like, I was there when you were sleeping.
Oh, yeah, from the movie.
Which was kind of like, even as a, rotting corpse, he smells like lavender. It's the same...
He's just a little fan. He's a little fan.
Yeah, I love it. It was good.
So good.
It was good. Are we going to talk about, because I thought you were going to bring it up at the beginning of the episode, are we going to talk about Genie and Genie Plus and some of the stuff that's been going on with that? Or are we steering clear of that iceberg?
We talked about that last time.
Well, we did, but I feel like there's been some... developments. No?
I didn't know.
Oh.
You better inform me.
Well, okay. So, for those of you that also watch WDWNT on YouTube, Tom Corliss went on a very good rant about that, about Genie and Genie Plus, and he like stopped his whole show and just like went for it.
Well, give us the cliff notes.
Well, the cliff notes were that that president of Parks, Josh D'Amaro, basically came out with a statement saying that Lightning Lane, which is the service where you pay for a fast pass at the moment, was meant for people that, were visiting and had Rise of the Resistance or another, like, must-do attraction on their list and weren't able to get an attraction, weren't able to get a virtual queue kind of return time kind of thing. and had it on their must-have, and this is a way that they could do it. And he basically came out and said, you know, first you create a problem with a ride that can't handle the capacity of the demand.
Right.
And then you basically come up with a solution.
Which is,
come pay more money for the problem we created.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, very Cliff Notes version of how he said it. But it was so interesting that the Genie Plus and Lightning Lane videos that came out on the Disney Instagram had, I think at this point it is 90% dislikes, which is the most dislikes.
Wait, dislikes on YouTube?
On YouTube, yeah. Oh. Of them, like, talking about it.
Yeah.
Which is the most dislikes of any Disney YouTube video since they created their account.
Uh-oh.
Like, it is getting a lot of pushback. A lot of hard pushback.
Getting some Eisner vibes. Honestly, yeah. Imagine if they had YouTube during the Eisner days.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
The dislikes.
I mean, I feel like we would have been hearing about a lot of stuff. Nobody knows about the David Copperfield Walt Disney Imagineering restaurant that they were going to do that ended up getting scrapped. But that, you watch Defunctland has a great video on that.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, was that just a mess.
Oh, sure.
You see stuff about, the beginning of Pleasure Island.
Oh, yes.
And you go like, oh my God, like, of course.
Not Pinocchio Pleasure Island. We're talking
Disney World. That would make more sense. This is Pleasure Island based on Meriwether Pleasure, the man that founded Pleasure Island.
This could be a whole episode in and of itself.
In the canon of Pleasure Island itself.
Maybe it should be.
I'll say this. The best part was Adventurers Club, and that needs to come back in some way, shape, or form. But anyways, I guess we touched on it before, but just the overwhelming kind of sentiment has been that this is not going to be something that most APs or even frequent park goers are going to be participating in.
I'll ask you this. I know that, no matter what Disney announces or rolls out, there are always grumbles and complaints every single time,
That's fair.
Does this feel like maybe more than usual?
It does.
It sounds like it. I mean, just the comment about the YouTube dislikes tells me.
It's tough because
Do you think there's enough dislike, real dislike, to make a difference here? Because typically people grumble, complain, they go on Twitter, they rant, they make videos, they rant. But it still happens. People still buy it. It ends up being a thing. And then nobody cares when the next thing comes out that they get mad about. Is this going to be like that? Or is this going to be something that really people just don't use and then they end up just, dialing it back, changing their minds? What do you think?
So, I think that the proof is really going to be in the metaphorical pudding, which is the sales. Mm-hmm. People can complain all day long, and people complained about Magic Key, but here we are purchasing it on the first day.
So much so that, the app wasn't working.
There was a three-hour delay queue. I had it open in a separate browser, at work to make sure I made it through.
Yeah.
But if people don't end up using the service, that's really going to be more of an indicator to them than anybody saying they don't like it. The service is intended to create more revenue. So if people just opt out of it, then it'll go away very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
People can complain, but if, tons and tons of people end up paying for it, tough. I'm curious to see. It rolls out in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be keeping an eye on it, especially as Magic Key holders going in and seeing
at this point, as a Magic Key holder, this doesn't really seem like something that I need to purchase.
No.
It doesn't. I really don't think so. I know I can come back. I know I can ride whatever I want to ride. And so, he may be right that this really is for those, single day park people who come for,
Is it a little too complicated for those single day people?
As it is right now, sometimes these people, they don't read the map and they don't figure out the fast pass system and they just ride what they can and then they leave. So, you know, if that's already the case, it's like nobody was asking for this. Nobody was asking for a more exclusive fast pass system.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see how it goes. You know, as long as they still have boarding groups where you can just join for those in-demand rides,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's easier to set an alarm on my phone and then join the boarding group on the day we're going to go than it is to pay in the moment. But, you know, you might get those people that didn't know, and then in the moment the cast member says, hey, for $10 a person, you could go on this ride mm-hmm. within the next hour. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm very curious to see how this kind of rolls out. Disney mm-hmm. had a good time to pause everything with the pandemic and kind of roll things out in the way that they had been wanting to for some time. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, boy, was that a tangent. I think we covered everything we wanted to.
Yeah, I'm
in
just
the
excited.
Third episode.
I'm excited for the next step. I thought the third episode was great. Just want to say that again.
I really liked it.
Thought it was deep and fun and good and exciting and like really grown up.
Is it weird that it made me more excited for season two of Loki?
Oh, for
seeing Tom Hiddleston, I was thinking to myself,
we love Loki in this house.
Man, that show was
so good.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm excited to see what episode 4 is. Are we gonna get Scott Lang's head?
Is it the zombies
we've seen? I'm trying to remember what else we saw in the trailer. There's so much. It's hard
Gamora
to. Yeah, Gamora with something.
With the blade of Thanos from Endgame,
which is the
kind of helicopter blade, which was a throwback to the Thanos copter from the comics that we then saw in Loki.
In Loki!
Yes!
Okay.
So that'll be fun.
Wow. Well, I'm excited. Whatever it is, we'll be back next week to talk to you about it. And we'd love to hear what you guys think. So please let us know your thoughts on the show, on the podcast, on the merch, whatever you like. You can find us on Instagram. You can follow and please do follow Fan Service Apparel on Instagram. It's just mm-hmm. @FanServiceApparel. Also on Facebook, you can find us. If you want to follow us individually, my Instagram handle is Jenae, J-E-N-E, _ with an accent. And Nick's is @EverybodyGoesToRicks, with an R, Ricks. And you can find us on Clubhouse as well. You can, those are good ways to reach out to us.
That's enough ways.
And of course, please find our shop either on Etsy, Fan Service Apparel, or at fanserviceapparel.com. And if you missed the first episode, we want you to go back and take a listen to it because you will find a code in that episode.
Ooh, yeah, I was just about to talk about that code.
But I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. You got to go find it.
You got to find the code. Find the code.
Yep, that's right. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.